Professionals spend nearly half the work week on written communication, so focus is important. With Grammarly as your AI writing partner, focus and quickly get through work with relevant real-time suggestions. And it works across 500,000 apps and websites, so you can sound more confident and persuasive wherever you write. 93% of professionals report that Grammarly helps them get more work done. Download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, apart from the fact that both countries start with the letter I, you wouldn't think there was many commonalities between India and Ireland, but once again, Mankan McGann has unearthed a fascinating trove of information that proves otherwise. His latest book is Brehons and Brahmins, Resonances Between Irish and Indian Culture. Mankan, good afternoon to you.
Lovely to be here back. Thanks, Sean.
Yeah. Should we start with maybe language, Sanskrit and Irish? You wouldn't have thought they had anything in common.
No, like as you say, we are so far away from each other. And yet, like it was even, you know, when I was thinking, like, with the way we call our ministers, Ara Aragadis, the Minister of Finance or Ara, whatever. And Ara, it's, you know, suspiciously like the word Aryan. And it is exactly from the exact same root, Ara and Aryan, and both mean sort of caretaker. So, you know, when you learn that in school, Ara, you know, Turt Ara Dorinagant. Basically, it was that level of the nobles or the men beneath the Ri in Irish and the Raja in India, same word, same root, that looked after the landscape. And so when I realised, well, wait there, why are these words the same? And why is there, why even when you say, when we were in school, you'd say deco to keep watch out. And why, that's actually a Hindi word, which then came from Sanskrit. And so we have it in, you know, dehme, I saw. So you think, wait there, what could be the connection? And of course, the idea is that ours is an Indo-European language and theirs is an Indo-European language. And that just means that there was a time where we were learning to farm. You know, there was a time where, like, if we look back in our archaeology, we can see these ridges where we were growing grain 4,500 years ago. And we can see the cattle fields from 4,500 years ago. And we learned those skills over where Eastern Europe meets Western Asia. So basically, that was a culture and a language and a whole mindset that moved then this Indo-European idea, this farming technology, and they moved westwards to Ireland and eastwards to India. And obviously, they were everywhere. But in between, in the centre of Europe, everything got mixed up. But you can imagine, let's say you can imagine a pebble being dropped into a pool of water. And that ripple at the outside was Ireland and India. Mm-hmm. So we have these like remarkable similarities. So like Christy Moore will sing a song, "I'm tipping it up to Nancy." You know, you're right, diddly aerio. The exact same words, the exact same concept is in the Bhagavad Gita, is in like, it's actually in the Rig Veda, which is older again. It's like 4,500 years. Now, he doesn't know he's singing a 4,500-year-old Indian song, but like they're there. And like so many of our ancient stories, of the ancient mythological, we think they're Cuchulainn and Finn MacCool stories. They're also being told in either the Bhagavad Gita or the Rig Veda. They're in both places at the same time.
Mm.
And it's just because we're all one culture. We, you know, in Ireland, we want to think, oh, we're here, we're absolutely Irish. But of course, no, we've been nomadic all our lives.
Yeah.
You know?
That's so, because it's also interesting in the sense of fairy stories and Hansel, and like there were so many iterations of that, just around Europe, but they spread all eastward as well.
You know the way Fianna Fáil, you know, obviously they liked themselves, they seemed very Irish because of we were Inis Fáil, and that's because the Lia Fáil. The Lia Fáil is that big phallic stone on the hill of Tara, you know, the big standing up that was defaced a few months ago anyway. So Fáil, Lia Fáil, it's basically this, this big standing stone. It's a phallic stone. It's basically a representation of the penis in a pagan form. Like there's no other way of looking at it. Because all over India, you have these Shiva lingams, the same idea. It's God Shiva's, basically his member, his sexual organ. Because the idea was the god represented the sun and then the sun impregnated the land. And that's what gave us bounty. Yeah. So the exact same concepts are in all the old myths that we have in Ireland and the myths in India.
Yeah.
You know the thing that really got me? The Boyne River. Mm. The Boyne River. So the Irish for that is Boyne, Awen the Boyne, you know? And in old Irish, that was Boyne or Boinde. And that means from bow, the word for cow, and Finn, meaning pale or white, as in Finn McCool, you know, fair-haired Finn. But it's not just fair or white. It's actually transparent. It's Finn who can see through the veil, who can access the knowledge on the other side, you know, all the mystic realms. So Boein means the cow who can access the wisdom or the knowledge on the other side. Yeah, the exact same god in India is Govinda. So Boinda here, Govinda over there. Okay, And so Go is just Bo. Bo in Irish, Go in Sanskrit. Same word, same root. And Govinda means finder or seeker of truth. So Govinda, another form of Krishna, is the cow who's the finder or seeker of truth. Boinda in Ireland is the cow who can access knowledge or who can access the education.
Yeah.
Even the word idus. You know the word idus, education, rhyme, idachas or whatever? Idus is the exact same word as Veda. Idus and Veda. So Vedas are, you know, the knowledge that was passed down from the ancients. It's like, it's actually hard to find any element of Irish culture that is truly unique, that they don't have over there on the other side of the world.
Yeah. And have you've been looking for clues for this for a long time? This wasn't just to write this book.
No, there was this great sort of professor of folklore called Dahi O'Hogan. And he wrote the Encyclopedia of Celtic Traditions and Folklore. But he was a legend in UCD. And I was studying Irish and history in UCD in whenever, 89, 90. And he brought me into his office because I was so sick of UCD, of life. And I was going off to India. I was just going to go off and find this, you know, shepherd's hut or cow hut and just go and go on deep meditation. And he said, okay, if you're going, he says, I want you to take this book. And it was a book of different sort of prayers by Shiva and different sort of these sort of old Hindi prayers. And he says, our Hindu prayers. And I want you, he says, to keep an eye out for similarities when you're in Ireland. And I had no, so this was 89, 90. I had no idea what he was talking about. And suddenly I began to notice all these things. I began to notice that our numbers were kind of similar to their numbers. I began to notice that even like the word Brahmin, you know, Brahmin are the elite class of there. It's just like the Druids were our elite class before the priests came. And Brahmin has the same root as Brehev, the judge. You know, the Brehev, the word Brehev, a judge in Irish, really comes from Breh, which is sort of the sayer of mantras, which is what the Brehens did. So I sort of had he had clued me onto it. I was looking for it. But there was two great books done about this. I haven't revealed anything new. There was this man, Miles Dillon, another great Celtic scholar in the 50s, 60s. In the 70s, he published a book called Celts and Aryans, just tracing all these connections, done all the work. And then there were two Welsh brothers in the early 70s, the Rees brothers. They did the same. But you see, no academic, no university will go near any of this because of that word Aryan.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
It's very troublesome.
It's a triggering word, to put it mildly.
So basically, you know, in the 30s, Hitler and the Nazi regime decided that they were part of this Aryan race, this supreme race that was connected to the upper area of India, and that they were somehow wiser and had some sort of elite powers and could control everyone else. And so we can't go near the word.
Yeah.
But yet, like, if we don't, we're blocking out an entire section of our own, of actually where we came from, that we are this part of this nomadic people who went all over the world. And it gives us a sense of actually who the Brehens were, you know, the Druids. Like the Druids, you know, the Druids were like two things, because, you know, people like me who run around fields and eat magic mushrooms, we have one view of the Druids. But the Druids were way more. The Druids were, they controlled everything. So the Druids decided, okay, I'm going to be I can bring mantras, I can bring prayers or spells down to change life. I can do an incantation to summon up Ireland into being or something, you know. But they can also, they're also sort of their memory holders of all the genealogy of all of, you know, of anything that happened in the past. And they would say who was the king that was going to be in power. So basically the Druids were these, in the end, they just went power mad, elite. Just messes. The exact same with the Brahmins in India. This elite power. The king couldn't do anything in India without having the support of the Brahmins, just like the kings in Ireland.
Yeah. We're all Indians now.
You see?
As we take from that, the book is called Brehens and Brahmins, Resonances Between Irish and Indian Culture. Mankin McGann, thanks a million.
Thank you, Sean.
Lovely to see you again.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.
Your time and expertise are valuable, making Focus one of the most important resources to have at work. These days, professionals spend nearly half the work week on written communication, and it can be difficult to stay on task with all the emails and documents you have to get through. With Grammarly as your AI writing partner, you can stay focused and quickly get through your work with relevant real-time suggestions wherever you write. It works across 500,000 apps and websites, so it can help with everything, from brainstorming presentation ideas to sounding more confident and persuasive in emails and reports. For 15 years, Grammarly has offered best-in-class communication support and enterprise-grade security on a business model that doesn't sell your data. 93% of professionals report that Grammarly helps them get more work done. Download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's GRAMMARLY.com/podcast.